blessings. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 5, stanzas 1 through 5. O Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many rise. How many say in vain, for help he on his God relies. 1 through 5 of Psalter number 5. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Revelation, and thereof the seventh chapter, Revelation chapter 7. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation chapter 7. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Case Alleman, who is weak at home. Also, Riley Rosendahl has gone for a checkup in the past week, and he is doing very well. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have read out of thy word of those who are before thy throne, and they may be enjoying an eternal Sabbath day. And it is a Sabbath day which shall never go out. O Lord, we may have in this day just the beginning. May it be that in the heart of this one or of that one in the midst of us, and that there was a desire to come together in thy house of prayer, because thou knowest we have no desire that is in and of ourself. But, Lord, may it be that thou art working in the midst of us, that there may be new ones born in Zion, that may have holy longing for thy day and for thy house. Oh, it is just the beginning of that which shall never die. And they may enjoy the sweetness from time to time in thy house of prayer. And it is a little foretaste of that which thou wilt give them to that never-ending eternity, as we have read out of thy holy word. Lord, the angels, the host, and the redeemed of thy church, they may bow, they may do obeisance before the Most High. Oh, we are so of the earth, earthy, and we cannot bow because our natural hearts are so full of pride. We do not know how to worship thee in truth. We have a form of religion, O Lord, but there is no truth in us. We are as a whited sepulcher, which is within so full of dead men's bones. And Lord, thou dost require of us the same as thou dost receive of those that are about thy throne this day. And we cannot, and we will not of ourselves bow. Oh, break us not in thy wrath and thy hot displeasure, but wilt thou in mercy melt our cold, our a stony heart. Oh, wilt thou break it to pieces before thee in this morning hour, because a broken and a contrite heart thou, O Lord, wilt not despise. But we cannot give it to ourselves, and therefore we beseech it of thee, Lord, that thou may give it to us in this morning, and that that which thou dost require, thou may also give. And that in this day, that there may be for the first time in the life of this one or of that one, a working of that true humility before the face of that holy, of that righteous, of that Most High God. Lord, give us to fear thy name in truth. And wilt thou take away all of our hypocrisy that dwells in our hearts and that lives there, that is seated there, that needs to be uprooted and that needs to be cast out by thee. Oh, make thou us honest with ourselves. And wilt thou give that in the midst of us, a people may be born in Zion that may learn to cry and that one day may also learn to sing. Oh, Lord, it would be to thy honor. It would be to thy glory when thou wouldst do so in the midst of us. And that is all that we can lay before thee in this morning. Wilt thou remember also thy own people? Oh, it is by moments that they have a longing, and that they may do even as we have read together. Oh, that they may worship thee rightly, and that all the wretchedness and all the sin, and that all the imperfection may be taken out of the way, and that they may prostrate themselves before thee, that there may be no evil, that there may not be no shortcoming in it. But Lord, thou knowest, even as thy servant did complain, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Everything must come from thee. Oh, may thou remember them also in this morning. Oh, give to thy people a little token, and that thou knowest where they are, and that thou givest, hearest, and answerest their cry, that thou may give a little food in thy house. Lord, they are not even of themselves so hungry. Oh, they can hunger even after the vanity that is in this world. Oh, what is necessary. And by times to wean them away and to give them that true desire. Oh, that longing to be with thee. Oh, that thou may remember them this day. May thou give them such a desire and such a longing in their heart that thou may fulfill it thyself. Lord, draw the hearts that they may burn after thee. Oh, is that not for thy own cause? Is it not for the glory of thy own dear and beloved Son? Oh, hast thou not promised him a seed that shall serve him? Oh, may they come even from the midst of us, from the boys and girls. Oh, look on them in the days of their youth. Wilt thou give them open eyes to see how vain everything is here below, that everything is passing away, and that nothing can make them happy with all that they may receive that is in this life, and that soon they have to leave it all behind, and that it cannot fulfill. Oh, that thou may give them another yearning, even after their Creator, in the days of their youth. Lord, wilt thou work in and amongst our rising generation, and look upon our youth, those that have maybe so many questions within their young hearts, whose hearts are drawn after the world by Satan, and would be deceived if they were left over to themselves. Lord, wilt thou remember them and give them open eyes, open ears, and understanding hearts? Wilt thou look upon also those that have become old, whose bodies do wear away, and when they must experience day by day that that man goeth to his long home? As soon the mourners will go about the streets. Also on their behalf, Lord, wilt thou give them an earnest cry, even when they may yet with all their knowledge know what is necessary and that one thing needful, but oh, that they miss that one thing within their own soul. Lord, who can give it to one another? Their children, their grandchildren, they cannot help them. And they can have so many about them, but they must go through that Jordan alone. Oh, may it not be alone. Oh, that thou would give that thy dear Son and his work may be applied in their life, and that they may be born even when they are old. Be with those that listen by church telephone this day. That has received the results of his test, and thou knowest the weakness of his body, and that which he has been told by the physicians. Lord, his time that is short, may thou look on him, may thou bless that which is done for his body, and wilt thou give him even a blessing out of thy heavenly store this day? Wilt thou bind it upon his heart before that it is forever and eternally too late? Strengthen him and also his wife. Be with her sister also in all her needs and circumstances which are so needful that thou may help. Lord, be with the young child also. Thou knowest all the news that his parents may hear when he also has received another examination by the doctors. Lord, oh, give thankful hearts when thou hast helped and when thou hast given, and that all things may go so well. Oh, we have remembered him from this place in all his need. And thou hast heard from heaven thy dwelling place, and thou hast thus far strengthened him. Oh, then give them and give us hearts to acknowledge thee, and make us altogether ashamed of our life under all thy great goodness. Oh, that we might turn from our evil and sinful ways, and draw nigh unto the true and the living and the good God. Lord, wilt thou go before thy servant, who has labored in our sister congregation, and who is yet recovering. Wilt thou give him strength and health in his body, that he may go before the congregations once again, supplying all his weakness. Wilt thou look upon us as churches, as a denomination? Thou knowest also in the Netherlands, when in this week the Synod will meet, O Lord, wilt thou remember them in all the trouble and in all the turmoil? Oh, may thou be on the right and on the left of thy own true servants. And oh, may thou spare, Lord, and may thou be with thy presence in their midst, that thy truth may prevail, and that thou would show that thou still dost govern us, even after 100 years, that thou art still with and amongst us, and that thou still leadest us as thy own church and as thy own people. Look upon us as a congregation. Lord, go before us this day, and when we are called to bring once again thy holy word, thou knowest all that lies in our own heart and in the heart of each and every one of us as members of the congregation. O Lord, wilt thou come, and wilt thou bless thy word? Come and show thyself, Lord. Wilt thou be in the midst of us as one that doth serve? Because without thee, we can do nothing. Forgive then all that is sinful and amiss within and without, and be among us as one that serveth undeservedly. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 165, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Hear, Lord, the voice of my complaint. Preserve my life from fear. Hide me from plotting enemies and evil crowding near. The workers of iniquity, their deadly shafts prepare. They aim at me their treacherous words. Oh, save me from their snare. Psalter 165, all stanzas. Congregation, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, here below, the nation of the Jews was searching for the Messiah. But they could not find him. And why not? Because we read that he was hid from their eyes. There was a people who were searching for a different Messiah. What kind of a Messiah? They were seeking for a Messiah without the cross. If ye be the Son of God, come down from the cross, and we will believe thee. That is, however, impossible. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot be separated from the cross. The hope of the poor that is lying in a crucified Christ. And now what did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He said to them, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Thus, just as the Lord Jesus Christ could not be separated from the cross, so also the cross cannot be separated from that true church of God. And this we wish to consider together with you out of the words of our text. You can find those words in the Gospel according to Matthew, thereof the 5th chapter, verses 10 through 12. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So far, our text. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. First, what this persecution is. Second, the blessedness of those who are thus persecuted. Persecuted for righteousness' sake, first, what this persecution is. And second, the blessedness of those who are thus persecuted. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This last beatitude, congregation, is a sort of an appendix, that it is including everything that has gone before it. Then it is not speaking about the character of the true church, as we have heard in the first seven, but it is speaking about the fruit of that work of the Lord, and the fruit, therefore, of that character of that true church. And that it is as if the Lord Jesus is saying, now these of whom I have spoken to you, those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who are merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, all of these together shall be persecuted. That is the true church. That is that church from whom that cross cannot be separated. And yet, the Lord Jesus is calling them blessed, even though they are persecuted. That is again a paradox. How often do we not say that, boys and girls? How many paradoxes there are in the Bible? How many paradoxes there are in the life of that true church of God? And now we have also a paradox, a riddle. How can that be, you say? That those people are happy in this world, that those people are blessed in this world who are persecuted. It is true. Our reasoning power, our mind, our intellect, that cannot understand this. It is true that our flesh also does not want to receive this truth. But it is that new man, it is that spiritual man that not only experiences it, but that also must acknowledge the truth of it. Maybe you say, how is that possible? That the poor in spirit, that those that mourn, those who are meek, how is it possible that such people can be persecuted in this world? Would say, would not such a character, would that not provoke the pity? Would it not provoke the sympathy even of this world? No. And why not? Because the character of the men of this world that is so different. The character of the man of this world is so opposite. The poor in spirit. Over what congregation do they mourn? They mourn over sin. They hunger and thirst, boys and girls. Do you remember? They hunger and thirst for what? They hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what did the Lord Jesus then say to the Pharisees? He said that the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. And he says, why is it that the world hates me? Because I testify of it that their works are evil. And so now is it also with His church in this world. That the life of that church is a light in this world. And that light that is shining in this world, upon whom? Upon the wicked. Thus the wicked, they see in God's people such a light that it is exposing their own sin. And it is when this is exposed that the wicked in this world is not loving that true church, no, but that the hatred and the enmity of their heart that is boiling against the true church of God. Everyone that doeth evil cometh not unto the light, lest his deed should be reproved. Thus the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore, he says, the world hateth thee. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. No, the Lord Jesus did not just merely say, blessed are they which are persecuted. We are not blessed, congregation, when we are persecuted and when we have to suffer for our own sin, for our own offense. Peter says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. No, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, thus blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Thus you say, for the cause of religion. No, congregation, not even for the cause of religion. We know that. We see that in our world today. Men, for the cause of religion, with bombs on their bodies, and it is nothing more than suicide. It is an expectation of reward for what? For giving their life as a martyr. That is not new. In World War II, then there were also pilots who have done the same. And if we look at the persecution of God's church through the history of the church, then there were also those who sought out martyrdom for the sake of martyrdom. But the Lord Jesus, he does not simply recommend persecutions, that we ought to seek to be persecuted. No, then we do nothing more than commit suicide. Augustine said it is not the punishment, but it is the cause which makes the martyr. The cause. Why? Therefore, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Perpetua. Did you ever read about her, boys and girls, young people, in the church history books? Perpetua. And she had to die. Why did she have to die? Because she was commanded to offer to the emperor. She was commanded to acknowledge that the emperor was her God. And Perpetua said, no. And for that reason, Perpetua had to die. Suffering, persecution, that is congregation and honor. And it is a privilege. When we may be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Thus, when it is a matter in our conscience, when it is a matter of the truth, then to be persecuted. Congregation, are we willing to be persecuted? Would we rather suffer than lie? Is the truth more important than our honor? Is the truth more important than our business? What kind of testimony is our life in the midst of this world? Paul says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them is an evident token of perdition." An evident token to the world. When we are able to sacrifice truth and our principles because of fear for our life, or only that we may get on in this world. What a poor testimony, even of the true church of God in our days. How far away from that place that we can read of in the days of our forefathers. Paul, he says, "I live in good conscience before God until this day." In good conscience. That is why Paul says that he is ready to not only be bound, but he is ready to die in Jerusalem for that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, we can only read in the history of the true church to see how many of God's true people have suffered for His name's sake. That has been especially the lot of God's true servants. Think of Moses and the slander in which he has suffered. Elijah, how he was chased because that he has stood for God and for His truth. The prophet Micaiah, cast into prison. John the Baptist, in prison, beheaded. James, beheaded. Paul says God has chosen us last, he says, even as if that we ourselves are condemned to death, appointed to death. We are made, he says, a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. And what was Paul's own experience? We can read how Paul speaks of how that he himself has been led through trials, through stripes, through persecutions, through perils, through watchings. We are made as the filth of the world, he said. We are as the offscouring of all things, even unto this day. Thus, especially the lot of God's true servants. But it is also the lot even of, in general, that true church of God. That was not only in the Old Testament, that was also in the New Testament. Where did it begin, boys and girls? Who was the first one who was persecuted for righteousness' sake? Who was that? Well, you say that was Cain persecuted whom? Yes, Abel. Why? Because of envy. God received his sacrifice, but God did not receive my own sacrifice. How was that in the life of Joseph? It was the envy of his brethren. It was by that wife of Potiphar, because Joseph walked in that way of righteousness. His own father, persecuted by Esau. David, persecuted by Saul. Why? Because he walked in that way of truth. The Lord left Saul. And then that enmity
and that is bound upon that heart of Saul against the true people of the Lord. How was it in the life of Hannah? How was it in the life of Isaiah? How was it in the life of Jeremiah? He is cast into the dungeon. Cruel mockings, cruel scourgings, bonds, imprisonment. Then we go after the time of the Bible. And then we can read of all kinds of persecutions of that true church. Ignatius, Polycarp, John Bunyan, the Huguenots. So many. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? In the world ye shall have tribulation. Thus that lot that is laid out for the true church of God here below. Congregation, we do not live in a time of outward persecution. Not at the moment. Although we must be afraid. And that that time draws so very near to us and to our children. And yet, that lot even in our day, that is the same toward the church of God, because who is the persecutor? That is not really men themselves, but that is the devil, who is stirring up men as a means to persecute. And so the devil, he has so many means of persecution, also even to persecute with the enticements that are in this world. The intention, the purpose of Satan, that is to destroy the true church of God. Oh, could they only make them fall away? Could they only make them sin that is unto death? And so Satan is also using the world and the drawing of the world that the true church of God may be condemned. And thus it is their lot. And yet we read that the Lord Jesus says here that these are blessed. Do you believe that, young people? So I have no desire for such a lot. But the Lord Jesus, he says, these are blessed. These are the people that are happy. That is our second thought. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have heard that before, have we not? When did we hear that? That was already that first blessing that we heard. What was the first one? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thus, on this last one, then the Lord Jesus is, as it were, going around back unto the first one again. So the Lord brings everything in this last beatitude together into one. Then he shows that it is one God, it is one people, it is one church, and there is one blessing. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thus, congregation, the Lord does not say that suffering is a sign of God's displeasure. Now we read in Psalm 71, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay in wait for my soul take counsel together. God hath forsaken him,
persecute and take him forward, there is none to help. That was the enemy. The enemy may mock, but it is not so. David had to flee, but the Lord had not forsaken David. It is the opposite. Blessed. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. That blessing that is actually twofold. It is a blessing for the time, and it is a blessing for eternity. Thus the Lord Jesus does not say merely, for theirs shall be that kingdom of heaven. No, but he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is, it is now their kingdom. Presently already, this is a blessed people. They are already made partakers of my kingdom. They are already made children of my Father. They have received that kingdom which can never be moved. They already receive the privileges of that kingdom. And what is the privilege of being in that kingdom of God? It has congregation, a king. A king. That king is the ruler. And now it is a people in favor with that ruler. In favor with that king, in favor with that God. He is an almighty God. What does that mean? That means that the enemies of that people are the enemies of that almighty God. Thus, that means that not one enemy shall ever prevail against the true church of God. Yes, they are persecuted. They are persecuted, the Lord Jesus says, for my sake. They are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They are persecuted over the truth. But they have an almighty God. And their persecutors, they shall not never prevail against them. Oh, they are persecuted, and their persecutors, if they could, they would take away all means of their sustenance, that they would die. But they are children of the Father, to whom belong the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And thus the Lord will take care of His own children. And the Lord is giving sometimes the assurance of this, that the Lord gives them that assurance of that inheritance that is prepared for them before the foundation of the world. Already. Hope. Hope. What is that? That is that already in this world, already in the midst of the persecutions of this world, already when men, every man in this world is striving against that people, but already also when the devil, he is seeking to take away every comfort of the true church of God, then already by moments that people may have rest in this life, already by the exercise of the true saving faith, the beginning of an eternal peace may be experienced in their soul. That is greater than every blessing of everyone in this world who is avoiding that persecution Oh, that is a people that are persecuted. That is very true. But they receive the blessed fruits of that persecution. And what are those fruits? But we read in the Word of God that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope that shall never be ashamed. What do they learn? By persecution, they learn more and more of that self-knowledge. How weak, how helpless that they are in the midst of all their persecutors. How dependent that they need to be upon that Almighty God. Or by their tribulations, they are also kept congregation from certain sins. Sins of carnality, the sins of worldliness. What has persecution wrought in the life of God's church in this world? Do you know what persecution is instructing that people in this world? That their affections would be set on things above and not on the things that are on this earth. Congregation, are that people not blessed? Are they not blessed already? Do you know what they see that we often do not see? They see reality. Reality. They see things as they truly are. They are not deceiving themselves with uncertain riches. Their heart, that is already, as they're going through this world, weaned from the world, weaned from carnal things, weaned from everything that is passing away. Are we ever jealous of those people? Do we ever see the happiness of the true people of the Lord already begun here in this life? In the midst of every affliction, in the midst of every trial, in the midst of all their persecutions, blessed. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that congregation is just the beginning. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The greatest part of the blessedness of that people is laid away. The greatest part of their blessedness is kept in store for them. That is an eternal, a celestial blessedness. John, we have read that. John, he is given to see something. We read that in Revelation chapter 7. But we see that also in the chapter that goes before. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the things of them that were, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Thus, there is in that time between the death of God's people and the resurrection of their body, that's what it is speaking about here in chapter 6, chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. In that time, and then the people, they are receiving a holy zeal that is not out of revenge, no, but that is for the honor and for the glory of God. That His name, for whom that people had suffered, and that seemed in this world to be made so low, while that people lived on the earth, then it is that they are crying to God, O Lord, when wilt Thou glorify Thy name, that all men may see and that all men may know who are Thy own people, who are Thy own church. But then in the seventh chapter, then we read, we have read how that John saw a mark, a seal, that was placed on the 144,000. A seal, that is, a mark. He has withheld His angels on the four corners of the earth. He said, stay a moment. Wait a moment. Before that you destroy the earth, wait a moment, and we will go through the world. And we will put a mark, we will seal every one of that true church of God. That 144,000. And so, boys and girls, just like the Lord has given that mark to be placed on those houses, that blood of the Lamb, before that destroying angel has come to destroy the firstborn of all those of the land of Egypt. So we read here that the Lord is placing His mark on that 144,000. Not one of them is going to be missing, because the Lord knows them that are His. And He will place His mark upon His own church. And He will give that His church, they shall be able to endure. They shall come through that persecution. And that is laying upon them, especially in that last time. And then John is given to see that blessed and eternal portion of the true church of God. Congregation, it is no wonder. Paul, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to that glory that is going to be revealed for His church. But will that not that now also be for us? That is what we hope to consider after we sing from Psalter 184. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me roll. 1 and 3 through 6 of Psalter 184. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Congregation, the Lord Jesus goes in these words from speaking in general to speaking very specifically. He had said, blessed are they that are persecuted. But now he says, blessed are ye. What is that? That is the application. The application. What a wonder when this may be said to us. When the Lord says, not only blessed are they, but when the Lord says, blessed are ye. But look how the Lord continues. He says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. Thus he is honest with his disciples. He says, you, my people, are blessed. But there is a difficult way that is set before you yet in this world. Before we build, the Lord Jesus has said that we must count the cost, lest we begin to build and we are not able to finish building. So the Lord Jesus says it is with following him. Who was it that set out, boys and girls, that went back again? That was Orpah. Seemed like she was just like Ruth. She went out with Ruth and with Naomi. But she returned again. She hadn't counted the cost. And what does the Lord Jesus say? That he who setteth his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Congregation, are we ready to suffer for the sake of Christ? Are we ready to suffer in this world for his truth? Persecution, that is not something that is welcome to your flesh or to my flesh. And we are always with that evil mind that is deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked. We are always seeing how that we are able to go along with the world and still make a profession of the truth. Thus, when I am dependent on some man in the world, how careful I am. How careful. And he uses God's name in vain. If it was my child, then I would speak. But because I fear this man, and because I need him now, then I have an excuse. It is not the right time.
it is not the right circumstances, that I may not be persecuted. We say how far we are from our forefathers. No, we do not say that we need to seek out a persecution by the world. But what is the means that we are using to try to avoid it? What did Naboth say, boys and girls, to Ahab? He was the king. When he wanted his vineyard, he said, "No, the Lord forbid it me." And he had to die for this. Do we believe that the Lord is able to convert our persecutor, even as he converted Saul of Tarsus? We live, congregation, in days at the moment in our own land, on our own soil at least, in peace and in quietness. But do you know what the Lord says? He says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. We do not know what days are lying before us and our children. It is not so difficult, however, to see very, very dark clouds on the horizon. When we see the turmoil about the beloved for the Father's sake, the people of Israel in this world, and when we see how that the world is gathering into one, the world becomes a very small place today by the television and by the internet. To do what? To bring man into one? Oh, if it only were under God. But it is to bring man into one against God. And when it is against God, then we may be sure that it is also against the true church of God. We live in very, very serious times. What do we need? What do we need? We need to know what all of those blessed may know. We need to know that it is well between God and our soul. We need that same heart that the Lord has given to those poor in spirit, to those that mourn, to those that are meek, to those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. These, the Lord is assuring of their own safety. Thus the Lord gives to them a consolation. The Lord gives to them a comfort in their sufferings, whatever that they are going to have to go through in their life. That is, not just to suffer, but to suffer for righteousness' sake. And now, what does the Lord say to that people? He says to that people, rejoice. Rejoice, he says, and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Thus the Lord gives that as a mark. That mark of his true church that are willing and ready to suffer for the truth. And that are suffering for righteousness' sake. And who may now rejoice? Who may now rejoice? God's people cannot rejoice. Until when? Until the Lord gives them faith to believe. First that they are one of those who is truly persecuted for righteousness' sake. And when the Lord shows them, then they also may believe that they are blessed. Thus, what is that victory that overcometh the world? John says, even our faith. And then by moments, that church may be exceeding glad. Young people, our life is serious. You are young. You think you have your whole life before you. But we live in a serious time. You think it is going to be long. You look forward to it being a pleasant life. You know what Solomon said? He said, the strength of our life, that is, the best part of our life, is labor and sorrow. And then we fly away. We need to be given that fear of the Lord in our heart. Jeremiah, he says, it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. To bear the yoke, children, young people, to bear the yoke in your youth. That is good. Not that we are receiving everything in this world, no. But to bear a yoke, what is that? That is to have to carry some weight. Young people, does the Lord give you to carry some weight? Does the Lord lay the weight of your own sin upon your heart? People of the Lord, time of suffering, time of persecution that is short. The Lord Jesus suffered, and his suffering was so great. You know what he said to his disciples? He said, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. It is a short time. What are the sufferings of his true church in comparison with those sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says, for our light affliction, which is, he says, but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not for the things that are seen, but while we look for the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen, those are eternal. The Lord Jesus, he says, except that those days should be shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, those days shall be shortened. After ye have suffered a while, Paul says, then he will make you perfect, He will strengthen. He will establish. He will settle you. Therefore, he says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give us understanding hearts. We will never walk in that way. We must be brought therein by thee. O forgive, forgive our many, many sins. Cause us to walk in thy truth. May it be precious to our hearts. Bring us safely to our homes. Give us meditation on thy holy and precious word. And wilt thou bring us with desire in thy house again in this afternoon hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 96. Stanzas 1 through 4. Rest in the Lord and be thou still. With patience wait his holy will, enduring to the end. Fret not, though sinners' gains increase. Forsake thy wrath, from anger cease. It will to evil tend. Let us sing only stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 96. Yeah.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.